just a little time to thingamabob. Let people filter in. We are live on YouTube. Hello, everybody. There's nobody there yet, but we'll wait for people to file in. That's the benefit of going live a little bit earlier. Everybody should have gotten the email reminder. Oh, hold on. Oh, hi. Yes, there are people there. I think I'm looking at the wrong. Hold on. Hello, hello, welcome. So there are a couple of people here on YouTube saying hello. Hi, guys. Welcome. Thanks for joining. Let us know where you're tuning in from. What country are you tuning in from? Right now, you know, I'm in Canada. Michael here is in Mauritius, which is on my bucket list. Have I ever told you that? It's on my bucket list for places to go.
Okay.
Canada is covered in this much snow overnight. It snowed last night, and then we woke up to that this morning, which I wasn't really expecting. I wasn't expecting that at all. So tell me where you guys are.
Is it beautiful?
It's pretty. Beautiful. I mean, okay, hi from Jamaica. Welcome. Hi from Canada, the Bahamas, Nigeria. Hello from Jamaica. Hi, guys. Representing the Netherlands. Interesting. Hi. Welcome. We're waiting for a couple more people to filter in, but we're going to start promptly at 3 p.m. So continue to filter in, guys, and tell me where you are tuning in from. Welcome, and thank you for joining. Tell me where you are. NG, is that Nigeria, I think? Yes. Cool. Liberia. Hi, James. Welcome. Thank you for joining. Let us know what the weather is like. I wasn't expecting snow. I really wasn't. So like,
oh, after December.
I know, but it snowed a little bit maybe 3 weeks ago, and then it stopped. Okay. And then last night there was literally no snow anywhere, right? So like, for you to wake up and you have to shovel the driveway, I was not prepared for that. Hi from Spanish Town. Spanish Town is in Jamaica. Welcome. Welcome. Let us know where you guys are. We have a couple more minutes. Okay, we have 1 minute to go. Hello from Ghana. Thanks for joining. All of our very diverse representation across the world. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. I just find it amazing time and time again that this is possible. And you have all these people who are, you know, located across the globe, and you know, still are able to come together. It's just great.
Hi, Rochi from Canada, longtime subscriber. Thank you for joining from the Cayman Islands. Hi. All right, guys. I think we're at the almost 3 o'clock mark. It's like a minute to 3 o'clock, and I do want to get started and be respectful of everybody's time. Welcome to the live Canadianize Your Resume webinar. My guest here is Michael Kaiser, who is an international business psychologist and a career coach. We know each other very randomly, but for a very long time, and reconnected recently, and I'm very happy to have done that. And today he's going to talk about how to help you to make your resume be more successful at landing interviews, you know, be more successful at landing a job, and how to understand a good or bad resume and what you can do to improve your resume. So, I mean, Michael, I'd love you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience with resumes. I trust your judgment with resumes. But yeah, tell us about you.
Okay, so yes, I'm originally from Germany, been around in the world quite a bit. I used to live in England for a while, and in New York City for 3 years. Later moved back to Germany and then to Poland and Europe. And for a few years, I've been living in Mauritius, which is in the Indian Ocean near Madagascar. So it's basically belongs to Africa, but it has a lot of people of Indian origin here. Most people actually are originally from India, their ancestors are from India. So it's a pretty mixed place, and it's a great place because there are so many different races and different religions. And Mauritius is a good example how all this can basically, you know, function together without any real problem. So, like, you know, it's a living proof that the religions don't have to be a problem, and different cultures and races and all this stuff doesn't have a problem, and you can actually see this live in Mauritius. This is one of the reasons I like to live here, and it's for my work. It's more like a platform because I work on an international level, so I have clients both on the corporate side and also individual clients across the world. So it's a good place to be based in or based at. Yes, and then. But it's a small island, so I need to get out of here from time to time.
And it's probably a little bit on the expensive side, right? Because everything is exported or imported.
Yes, it's an island, so yes, it's it is expensive, but it's all right. It's more like it's an expensive island for tourism. So, like, if you want to book a hotel, you know, it's amazing how much you have to pay. Normal life is not that crazy. So yes, it is more expensive. For example, Germany is, but it's not crazily expensive, I would say. Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. So I think you and I have been talking a little bit about, like, even how we got here to this point is that I'm promoting the Atlantic Immigration Program, which is an immigration program that allows people to come to Canada by means of a job. So they, from their home country, need to apply for a job by an approved employer and get that job in order to come to Canada and ultimately migrate. So since I started this mission of spreading the information about that program, you know, people have sent me their resumes. I've seen a number of resumes from all over the world, and even some complaints about not being able, not getting interviews, the program doesn't work, we're not hearing back, all of that stuff. And even my experience in Canada, you know, like people, I know of people who send out resumes, lots of resumes, and never hear back. And I think it's something that needs to be addressed that goes beyond the program doesn't work, I think, right? So if you're submitting a resume and you're not hearing back, there's something in it. So what would be your, like, take on why so many people struggle with their job search?
All right. I mean, there are quite a few aspects to this problem. Of course, we don't have enough time to address all of them here, but I think it's not a good approach to blame the program for that, because the program is not, if the program fails, it would be because of the government not doing its job. But, you know, there are no hints that this is the case. If you can get a job, or, you know, if your applications are rejected, or which is probably mostly the case, you know, you don't even get any answer, then it has nothing to do with the program. Because if you were in Canada and you have a Canadian passport, even, you would have the same problem. And if you ask Canadians, they would probably say, you know, it's not the program, because we have the same problem. So don't worry about this program. The program is probably very good and in your favor, and you should use it. But you have to investigate why your applications are rejected, or, which is more likely, not even answered. And from my experience, there are two major reasons why this is. The second one is a bad CV, or resume, as it's called in Canada and the US. So a bad resume, and we're going to talk about that in more detail in a second. And the first reason is a lack of focus, because you cannot just look for a job or a job in your industry or your a job in your industry in Canada. This is not specific enough. So you need to have, you need to develop a good focus on what exactly you are looking for. Because if you don't do that, you simply won't be able to tell a story that the other side, the companies you are applying with, will understand. So it will be just a rambling, you know, story or rambling stuff, and no one knows what they're supposed to do with this, all this information that you provide. Mm-hmm. So you cannot just unload all the stuff you have, hoping that the other side will go through all this and pick the right things themselves. No, they won't. And this is usually, this is, as I said, one of the bigger problems, that people do not provide a good selection of the pieces of information that really matter. They just come with their life. And mm-hmm. no one at this stage is interested in your life. No one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so therefore, I mentioned the term CV, which is the use in the British Empire, still the word that is used for what the Americans call the resume or the Canadians.
Yeah.
And it's actually a very, very misleading term, because it implies that you're supposed to talk about your life and your course of your life and your experience, all the stuff you have, you know, gone through in your life.
You mean the word CV?
Yeah. It's Latin. It means basically like course of your life. Yeah.
Ah.
So it's a curriculum vitae. So this is basically, you know, all the stuff that you have you've piled up in terms of experience, what you've gone through and so on in your life. At least this is the way I can't speak Latin, but this is the way I understand it. So, and even in German, we also use the exact wording for the course of your life. In German, we say Lebenslauf, which means course of your life. Mm-hmm. This is not, I'm repeating, it is not what you choose, what people should provide. You should, what is needed is an advertising document, sales copy, so to speak, all right, that explains to the other side why you have what it takes to fix their problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is the reason why usually sales and marketing people are doing a bit better when they apply for jobs, because they are closer to this, they know more about marketing and sales.
Mm-hmm.
And this works.
Mm-hmm.
Astonishingly, a lot of them, still a lot of them, don't provide, you know, high quality applications documents, but at least they are, it's easier for them to understand all the stuff that we are going to talk about. So you need to create an advertisement basically for yourself. And as you know, this is always it's always focused on the product you want to sell and the target group you want to sell the product to.
Uh-huh.
So this is a good way to connect these two things. So you need to have a good document, the resume, with the right focus in order to make your message go through. Uh-huh. And when people don't get answers or are rejected, it's usually a combination of the two of them. So they have a lack of focus and a bad document, and then your applications, don't go anywhere. And this is very sad, because the problem is that people believe, because they are qualified to do their job, let's say they are a good accountant or a good plumber or a good nurse, that because they are convinced, and they are rightly so convinced, that they know how to do their job, that the people they are applying with will immediately recognize that and understand it. And this is not the case. They don't know you.
Yeah.
So especially as you only show up with your resume, well, you don't show up, the resume shows up. So it is the fact that you are qualified to do your job does not mean you are qualified or you know how it what you know what it takes to convince other people. It's a completely different kind of skill.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I said the marketing and salespeople, you know, find it easier to deal with it because they have a job that's closer to this task.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people who work with their hands or whatever, they are convinced that they do a great job and can do a great job, but they may miss the fact that they do not have developed the skill enough to also show this or find a way to show this to other people and convince them. Mm-hmm. So and therefore, the first thing you have to, if things are not going the way you want, the first thing you have to realize, this is a special skill. And what, regardless of how qualified you are in your job, you may have to spend some time developing exactly this skill. Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, handy for a lot of other situations in life because you want to convince people all the time.
The skill of convincing, right? Or skill of marketing.
Yeah, because it's a psychological process.
Yeah.
And so once you know, once you have at least understood that you are not ready because you do not have the skill yet,
mm-hmm.
you will probably be more humble in terms of not just sending off your bad document again and again and again. You may want to take a step back and then check how much you actually know about how it works and what you don't or what you don't know yet. And this is a good first step because then you will start with educating yourself what it takes, and then you can improve the documents, you can improve your approach, you may improve your networking, because this is also one of the reasons why people are not successful, because they do too little networking and then they just send documents away. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not the best method.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will learn all of, you know, there's a lot of free stuff on the internet to acquire these skills, but mm-hmm. you simply have to, otherwise it's just taking potluck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Well, it's actually bad luck, I should call it, because it's, you know, the chances that you get a job with the wrong approach is extremely, they are extremely small. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like when we were speaking of public a week ago or so, and you made a very, very eye-opening statistic, told me an eye-opening statistic that 90% of resumes are bad. Right. And I was like, I look back at my resume, my 2014 resume. And I mean, I got a job, but I don't think it was a good resume. I did exactly this task. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And like, I mean, like you said, it's luck, some extent, or probably because you were able to land a resume, an interview, then your personality kind of shone through, hopefully. But you have to land the interview first with the resume, right? So 90% of resumes are bad. What is your definition of a bad resume?
All right. Now, in order to understand it, you have to understand the situation your resume is in, because it's a lonely position. It's, you know, it's a difficult job that the poor document has to do, and without you being there helping it.
Yeah.
So because you know, people who get the resume is there, it's not there to get you a job.
Mm-hmm.
The job of the resume is to get you an invitation to a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes. So and therefore sometimes people have a bad resume, but they do excellent networking. So basically they get invited because of their great networking.
Mm-hmm.
And their bad resume does not play a big role, so it cannot damage much. So they will, the people read it, they have no idea what it's supposed to be or mean, but who cares, because they are in touch with the person already, the person is invited, and then they do a good performance in the job interview, and that's the reason they get the job, in spite of the fact that their resume is not good or wasn't good.
Somebody handed my resume in.
Yes. So. Yeah. So therefore you can, you may be lucky getting a job with a bad resume, but then you're not lucky. You did some other things, you know, very well.
Yeah.
And they worked around it because, as I said, this the resume is only there to get you the job interview. If you're able to get yourself the job interview in a different way,
yeah,
this would actually be the preferred method.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, it's so difficult for your document because you send it off usually by email to someone who doesn't know you, mm-hmm. to someone you don't know either,
mm-hmm.
so to a stranger, and yeah. unfortunately this stranger gets a lot of other bad hundreds resumes of other as well.
Yeah.
So you have this like inbox full of your of bad resumes, and you know that most of them are bad, mm-hmm. and you have only one position to fill anyway, but you don't know who of the 50 or 100 resumes you got are the three ones that you want to that are worth to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And so your resume has to convince the other person while you are not there, has to convince exactly. a stranger.
Yeah.
And in a situation where the stranger is certainly not inclined to spend a lot of time with your document.
Yeah.
So you need to achieve two things. You need to convince the other person, but at the same time, you only have from my experience, I usually say 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. Okay.
To make an impression.
60 seconds for the first good impression.
Yeah.
Now, if you make it on the positive pile, as I always call it, so if people say, oh, this looks interesting, so they will just, they're not going to read on. They will just put it on the pile of the few good ones,
mm-hmm.
to look at it in more detail and with more time and so on later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is that getting on the good pile will still not give you the invitation for the job interview, but you're closer to it.
Yeah.
At the same time, if the decision is negative, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no second chance.
Mm-hmm.
60 seconds, you didn't make it, that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a good professional company, then you will send your rejection,
mm-hmm.
saying nothing. Very often, that's just it. They deleted it, and your application, maybe your hard work of hours writing a letter of motivation or whatever you added to it, is gone, is wasted. So therefore, remember the situation your resume is in when you send it to strangers,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, you need to write a document, a sales copy, an advert that is able to communicate whatever the message is, not only in a convincing way but also extremely fast. So you have to have a document in the end, after all the time you spent working on it. It has to be persuasive,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be able to do this job within 60 seconds. And therefore, you already understand now that the most important stuff has to be on the first page. The
top. Right, right.
All right. So mm-hmm. then it's just logic. So if your work experience, the relevant one, is on page 4, then this is not a good idea, because they probably won't make it, to page 4 in the 60 seconds.
Not only that, like even here, generally, 4-page long resume is long. Like that's
yes, long. Yes. This is quick excuse. People always ask me how long should the resume be. Well, you don't go to a bookstore and buy a book, by the number of pages. You don't say, oh, this is 300 pages, this is great, and this is 350, this is too long. No, you buy it because there is something in it that you find exciting,
mm-hmm.
and regardless of its
fiction. But it convinced you on the cover or something.
Whatever, yeah, but you right. buy it because, and then you read it, and you read it till the end if it's a good book. You don't say, I never read books that have more than 200 pages. even though I still don't know who the killer is, but this detective story, it's more than 200 pages, I put it away. No, if it's good, you read till the end. If it's 1,000 pages, you do. You just keep going. If it's bad, you stop after 10 or 20 or 50 pages, mm-hmm. all right? So don't worry about the number of pages in your resume. As long as it is still an exciting read at the end of page 3, don't worry about having a fourth page. But if it's really boring, then having limiting it to 2 pages will not help because they will not even read the second page. This is the psychology. So don't worry about the number of pages. Worry about to make it an interesting, intriguing, fun to read
document. And relevant to the employer.
And relevant. And yeah, with the relevant because of the focus the clear and right focus you develop for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And I want to make that be very careful with that, because I've seen a 10-page resume, which is their entire life history, which I am sure I can bet my bottom dollar that all of the life history is not relevant to a single, one particular employer. So I want to just make sure it's relevant. Yes. and interesting, because I didn't want to read it. You're not applying for a job, but
Yes. On the other hand, it's not a problem if you have a 10-page resume and the first page sold the story already, the other 9 will not change the decision anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's the other pages don't play a role if the first page did the job. Now, you could have saved the time. So I'm not saying you should do that, but it's not a problem.
Okay.
It's basically always comes back to the same aspects. First page is important.
Yeah.
Persuasion is important.
Mm-hmm.
Speed is important. And if you keep these main aspects in mind, you will automatically write a good document with the right length and the right content, etc.
Okay. Now we know kind of what's in a bad resume to some extent, right? Do we? If you
No, we don't, right? Yes, to some extent, of course. But then the thing is okay, now we know the situation your resume is going to be in when showtime comes. Now, and then the question is, so it has to be fast, it has to be persuasive, and so on. How do you actually convince the other side? So, mm-hmm. You have to do it fast, but how do you do that? Because talking about your life certainly is not of any interest at this point of time.
Yeah.
So, and the biggest mistake people make here, so the bad resume in terms of the big stuff, is one that only lists previous activities.
And
now you can say 90, it's probably 95% of, or even more, of all resumes make this or have this problem built in, that they just, even if they do this well in terms of that, at least you understand what they did in the past, it stays entirely unclear,
mm-hmm.
what the outcome was.
Right. Now, so you mean in their work experience, right? In listing their work experience.
So because this is the you have to always put yourself in the shoes of the other side, the hiring manager. And the hiring manager is at an early stage, is not interested in most of the things that have to do with you. What they're interested in is able to solve their problem successfully.
Mm-hmm. What can you do for them?
So what can you do for them, and will you do it successfully? Now, ideally, they would use a glass ball, and then look into the future and see you working for them and see what they are. Now, this is unfortunately not possible. This is what if they could, they would do this and then pick the best candidate. As this is not possible, they have to look at your past,
mm-hmm.
try to find something that is similar to the job they have,
mm-hmm.
to do, the position they have to fill. And then see if you basically did something. So that is not that incorrect at this stage. That is that they would have to do for you. But then the important thing is if you were successful with it. And mm-hmm. if they see you worked for a similar company in the last 3 years and you produced a lot of good positive outcome, achievements, accomplishments, positive results, successes, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you worked for a company doing something related as well, and you were successful. And before that, also, and actually, your successes, your accomplishments, whatever, has increased over time. The responsibility you were able to handle has rows and so on, then it is pretty likely that if they give you this job, that you will, you know, be successful in it again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you just tell the other side what you did, no one, and most people don't even do this well because they stay entirely vague. And we are going to look at a few examples in a second. So then you'll immediately see what the problem is. But even if you were rather descriptive mm-hmm. doing that, the question would be, and what was the outcome?
Yeah.
You know, I called 100 people. Yes. And then they all cancel the product,
yeah.
you know, because you were rude to them. You can still say, I called 100 people. It's still the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you did a terrible job. So saying you call people, you know, does not make sure that you should call people for this new company again.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So it is better. You, of course, there's nothing wrong with talking about what you did because people want to understand what the job is about. Yeah. But it's more important mm-hmm. to focus on
outcome.
The accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
As precise and specific, or concise actually is the best word,
concise
as possible
mm-hmm.
To have a dense, a dense way of providing a lot of information on the very first page, especially, and it's basically loaded with a good deal of activities, but especially activities, responsibilities, tasks. But especially on the outcomes.
And so I did this and achieved that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And because you want to, because it's about the achievements and not the fact that you spend time at the place and you were paid for that.
Yeah.
they don't want that.
Right.
And I notice and very often when I explain this to people, they say, oh, yes, Michael, you're right. Yes, absolutely. Strange that I never thought about it, but yeah, it's logical.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they try to sit down and work on their, put it into their document, their resumes, then they struggle mm-hmm. because it is very common that people actually are out of touch of the daily accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Big
they
time.
Create. Mm-hmm. So for you, it's just your work. But mm-hmm. actually, it's not just work. There's an outcome. So mm-hmm. you need to, very often, the first step people need to take is to reconnect with their positive results they produce, yeah. mm-hmm. to actually be able to recognize them and see them. Mm-hmm. And then you actually find out that you do a lot of great stuff every day
mm-hmm.
that you can be proud of. So you feel also better. And that's good when you present yourself in the job interview. So a good resume is mm-hmm. also an excellent preparation for the job interview.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because you have a good document that basically can use to talk about your past because it's all organized properly already, but also in terms of your self-confidence because you see all the accomplishments and you have them ready with numbers, etc., to present yourself, so you feel better, you come across more confident. All of that will be working in your favor.
Yeah, and actually when you were saying that a while ago, because I had to do some work on my resume recently, and I just thought about, because I would get disgruntled clients. It was like, there was a problem on a project.
Mm.
And they're like, here, Christina, that's your project, right? And, you know, you think about it, it's not necessarily a positive, you're not getting you don't know what the outcome is going to be, but it's not a positive situation and you turn it around and that's an accomplishment. Like I just thought
Absolutely.
About that just now. I was like, wait, I got this project that was going off track. It was completely derailed. They handed it to me. I scheduled weekly meetings with them and got it back on track. And that's a line in my resume. That's not in my resume right now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good, that's an excellent example. And thank God it is like that, because otherwise, like firefighters, policemen, nurses, doctors, you know, they wouldn't have any accomplishments to mention because, you know, they would only deal with criminals or burning houses or, sick people or whatever. Obviously, it's not, it's basically like accomplishments can be of two kinds. Either you produce something new, mm-hmm. You sold something, you produce something, you fix it, or you made a problem go away.
Mm.
So you can say like, I increased customer satisfaction by 30% because I changed the business processes in the call center. That's an accomplishment, but it's also a great accomplishment to say I reduced the number of customer complaints by 50%. This is a great accomplishment. So it's either about producing good stuff or removing problems.
Yes.
So
yes.
Obviously the firefighter is more on the removing problem side rather than on the creative side. And it's absolutely fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the point you made about like giving you confidence to know that you're capable of doing this job that you're going to go interview for, right? Because now you know, well, I did all these things. And yeah, I actually feel good about myself right now. When you just
and it's also, and it's particularly important for women because women tend to have less confidence in their own work. So they have higher expectations because men say, oh, no, I'm the greatest. So, you know, but women say, no, you know, this is 9.5 out of 10. Well, there's still half a point missing, you know, where a man says 6 out of 10, an excellent result.
I passed.
You know,
yeah, I passed.
This is so. And the sad thing is, because of that, very often women do not apply for jobs where they are better qualified than a lot of men. And the company doesn't even have a chance to do anything about it because if you do not
apply,
you know, they will never know you. So being able to connect or reconnect the right way with your accomplishments will also, to some extent, fix this problem because you will actually see that you may be a humble woman, but you have a lot to offer and it's not less than men do. So therefore, it's important for everyone, but particularly for women.
Fair, fair. Okay, so we know how to fix the bad, kind of. One way, there are several ways that a resume can be bad, but like what else do they need to keep in mind for crafting a well or having a well-crafted resume?
Like, well, I mean, there are a lot of, there are a lot of aspects that you need to pay attention to in order to create a good document. So this is, it's a good question, but it's difficult for me to answer.
Okay, well, 3 points. Of,
you know, so, well,
3 points.
I'll start with my favorite. Well, there are some obvious ones. So some people write like, you know, that don't pay it. They write, they are detail oriented. Oh, I love this. You know, they have like, oh, I'm a detail oriented person. And then the whole document is full of spelling mistakes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Great. Yes. That's proven to be detail oriented. Okay. Yes. So this is, so you want to, certainly you want to make sure you have like it's properly formatted and the English is fine. And it's not a problem if you're not an English speaker, native English speaker, and it's a bit difficult for you, then just, you know, work with a friend or work with someone who is a native speaker in order to fix it. Do not use it as an excuse to provide a bad document, okay? So because these are the little things that can immediately throw you out of the further consideration. But one of my favorite actually is something else, and that is most documents could immediately improve by just removing damaging information. Because people put in stuff that is clearly not in their favor. And even if they did not, if they wouldn't replace it with anything, it would just leave it blank.
Leave it out.
The document would be better. All right. And now the question is what kind of information that is. And that's actually a bit more tricky to answer because very often it's, you cannot say that in general. Let's use, there's always the discussion. I mean, in Canada, it is not so common to use to mention your age, but it's not forbidden. So you can do this. Now, should you? You could say, okay, in Canada, you don't do this, so I won't. All right, then you're on the safe side with that. But that may not be the right decision because the question is mentioning the age, is it in your favor or not? Now, let's say you are in the early 30s, you're a programmer. So that means you have had some, you know, quite a few years of programming, but still young. And you know, this kind of software company you're applying with, they are looking for this kind of person like you. You're the perfect candidate in terms of age. it would be stupid not to mention your age. All right. So because it's so perfect. Mm-hmm. So if I would mention it even in countries where it is not common to mention the age, because it works in your favor. Mm-hmm. Now, if you apply for a job where you are actually maybe considered to a bit too young or a bit too old. Then mentioning your age is absolutely stupid. Because, and then people say, yeah, but Michael, you know, okay, then they invite me for the job interview and then they will see that I'm younger than they thought or older. Yes, that's correct. But then remember, the document is out then. It's you who's running the show.
Right, right.
And that gives you the chance to actually see, yes, you are pretty young, but you are advanced, you know, like you can do more than others at your age. Mm-hmm. Or you are a bit older, but you're still young in spirit and, you know, very dynamic. And there is no question that you will fit in with the team perfectly. Mm-hmm. But this is something you can achieve yourself during the job interview. Mm-hmm. This is nothing the document can do for you. And therefore, the point of time when, let's say, some bad information comes up is relevant. So the same applies with hobbies. If you apply for a boring office job and you say that, you know, you do a lot of free climbing, then it's not a good idea. This is damaging information because people may come up with the idea that you are, you know, sick all the time and because you injured yourself in the mountains on the weekend. Again, whereas if you want to apply for a position as a sales clerk in a outdoor, vendor, stuff like, you know, selling like this kind of, let's use it, you know, climbing equipment or outdoor stuff, then I would put it in because it shows you are not just looking for a job. You really care for the topic, for the products and so on. Mm-hmm. So you care about the thing that the company is about and the job. So then I would put it in. So you cannot say in general, put in the age or put in the hobby or always leave it out. Mm-hmm. Same with kids. In some countries, you know, people add the family information. In other countries, in Canada, it's not so common.
No, yeah.
But then, even in Canada, if you apply as someone with a kindergarten or with a, you know, school or whatever, then mentioning that you have three kids yourself and you, mm-hmm. you know about kids and the problems parents have and so on, is helpful because it means it provides information on your it's related to the job. Mm-hmm. It shows that you are experienced.
Yeah.
And now if you apply with an aggressive VC company, venture capitalist company, you know, where they expect you to work 16 hours and sleep under the desk. Well, then mentioning that you have four kids at home and your wife or your husband is actually kind of sick and they cannot be of much help and they're going on. Well, it's probably not a good idea. So you always have to ask yourself the question: in what way will it improve my chances?
Yeah.
And if you cannot answer this question in a good way to yourself, then it's time to not put it in, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Then this is a good test. You have to explain how whatever it is will increase your chances. And if the answer is neutral or negative, or if it's negative, it's out anyway. And if it's neutral, you take it out as well, because it would just dilute the valuable information in the document.
Okay.
You know, it's stuff that's not needed, so out.
Okay. So I think to further even answer that question, what we're going to do is to look at a couple of resumes live right now.
Yes.
To see, you know, live, real life examples of.
I think we should wrap it up in terms of the examples.
Yes. Okay.
I think the audience got the picture.
Yeah. And it's good. Like, we see these resumes. So if you guys are in the crowd and you saw the resumes, you have some comments from for your resumes, you can do some work on it. But we don't want to leave you hanging just to say like, okay, go work on your resume. Because we've had a very high level conversation as to ways to improve your resume, what makes a bad resume, but how do we actually help you tangibly to improve your resume? So Michael and I have been working on, Michael has already had a resume course. And all, we want to take it a step further. So, okay, here's our course, go through the course, but then have a live resume session where we are able to look at your resume one-on-one and help you to improve upon those resumes so that you can submit them to get a job, right? Get an interview, okay? We can only take you one part way. You use the rest of the way is yours. So on January the 7th, we have it's a resume workshop where we have only 12 spots for people who have worked on their resumes, who have their resumes ready for review. And Michael, being the professional, is going to review them and give you exact comments on what can be improved and more in depth than what we have done here, right? Because today we did a very high level thing. That's January the 7th at 11 a.m. It's now currently live on my website where you can go and reserve your spot. There's only 12 spots because it's going to be a 90-minute session, right? Where you are there, your resume is there, and it's one-on-one. You can ask questions. It's not going to be like this. You're going to be in the Zoom with us, and you can ask us questions. We can get live feedback and some takeaways to go and improve upon. So we're not leaving you high and dry. Just here's the information. Go be great. You go ahead, Michael.
And also you will profit from the questions the other participants are going to ask, because very often, you know, there's a good question that you haven't thought of yet, but you know, or you notice the moment the other person asks, it's relevant to your situation as well. So don't worry about not, you know, having us there for the whole time, for, you know, to yourself. You will profit from our answers to the other participants as well. So because very often the problems in, you know, in the resumes there's are usually shared. The same kind of problems.
Yeah, so and we saw that.
If you understood what's wrong with someone else's resume, you're probably also prepared to fix the similar problems in your own document. So doing it for a group is actually beneficial because, you know, we cover a broader range of issues.
Right. And so like I said, we'll have this webinar, but we're working on something that I will announce through my website at a later date that we're going to have a resume course. So you can get the course, go through the information, apply it to your resume, and then attend a live webinar, because we'll have these lives. This is the first one, but we'll have it as a recurring thing going forward. But you'll have access to that course shortly. But of course, you know, you have to become a member of my website so that I can give the information to you. If there's no way for me to email you or tell you this is happening, sign up, then you won't know, right? So just become a member of my website. So right now I'm going to share the screen, show you my website, where to find the link for this new webinar. There's only 12 spots because the time is limited and we can't have 20 odd or 50 odd people on there asking questions. It doesn't work. So I'm going to share my screen real quick. So you guys know my website, right? As told by CanadianImmigrants.com. If you go to the events tab, right, this is the one that is on January the 7th, right, at 11 a.m. So if you click RSVP, it's going to bring you over to Michael's website, where you can get the information, all the high-level information, and then the details of the webinar, and then you can book your ticket right here, okay? So you want to go through, get your spot. There are only 12 spots for the purpose of time and for giving you the attention that you need. So there's that. And also, you guys already know, if you don't know, if you're new to my channel here, I'm going to share the screen again, actually, and show you how to become a member of my website for free, just so that I can get in touch with you to give you the information that you need. So if you go to the About page, it's all over, but it's more relevant on the About page. You just put your name here, your email address here, confirm that you're not a robot. If you're a robot, it won't work. And then submit, okay? And then I will be able to give you the information that you need. And some of you are already members of my website. So thank you for becoming a member, and you would have gotten information about this webinar. And when I'm done, I'll send you the information for the January 7th webinar. Reserve your spot before it's booked. And yeah, do you have any final comments? It's snowing again.
No, it's snowing again. Okay. No, it's been a pleasure to be on your show. So I'm honored. Thank you very much.
Yes. And thank you for taking the time out to be here, guys. Thank you for showing up. And here's a question. Sorry. Would you recommend including a picture on one's resume? And this is a conversation Michael and I have had back and forth several times because we're from different parts of the world. Can I answer first? And then I'm going to let you answer, or you want to answer first?
No, you're the lady should answer first. Please go
ahead. In Canada, it is not typical to have your picture on your resume. That's not typical. And especially Michael's going to give you a different spin to it, which I completely understand and agree with. However, it's not typical in Canada. And if you're thinking about using valuable space on your resume, think about the most relevant information to the market that you are trying to get into, right? The job market, the things that the Canadian employers are accustomed to. That is not typical, Michael.
Okay.
Your turn.
it's actually not that I disagree. I mean, yes. First thing you have to know, it's not typical, it's not common. So not doing it, not including a picture, is absolutely fine. It's basically the conservative way of handling the issue of answering the question. So if you do not put in a picture, you are certainly not making a mistake. But so you're fine with that. Now the question is if you want to go beyond that. Because when you apply for a job, normally it is a good idea to stick out of the crowd, okay? Because this is what the whole process is about. So now it depends on, this takes me back to what we discussed earlier in terms of damaging information. You have to ask the question: if you were to put in the picture, the headshot, what is the good reason why you would want to do that?
Uh-huh.
And there may be good reasons why you say, well, you know, then I stick out, and it's an industry that likes that marketing, for example. You know, it's not an extremely conservative one. So I like to stick out. I have a professional headshot at hand. I, you know, size it rather small so that it won't take away any space I need for other things, and also it is more common to use pictures now in the LinkedIn profile and social media profile, so people will not be completely at loss what this is supposed to be. So then you probably want to do it because there are a lot of good reasons, and no one, because if you have a good resume and you have the nice picture, no one will say, well, in Canada, this is not common. You are the perfect candidate, but because of the picture, you are out. We don't want you. It's because of the picture. It's not going to happen.
Right.
On the other hand, if the whole document is bad, the picture that, you know, where you look like a model, it's not going to save it. So therefore, then you might as well forget about it as well. But if you have information that indicates it is not a good idea, let's say because it's a very conservative industry, and you have been in touch with the people, and they are, you know, they have their way of thinking and want things to stay the same as they've always seen it. So if you know already that the person wouldn't like it, well, then it would be damaging information and you wouldn't do it because you know why. Mm-hmm. So that I would say in general, I would be more inclined to put it in, because if it, you know, under the conditions I have just mentioned, but if you are a bit timid or afraid and you want to do it the conventional way, then yes, in Canada, you don't need it. And it will be absolutely fine to leave it out, or you don't have one, or you don't want to spend the money, you know, getting one. All fine. You don't need it for Canada. And if the rest of your resume is fine, you're not going to lose out on anything because of the missing or not included picture. Now, in other countries, just to mention that, because sometimes people consider various countries or different countries at the same time in terms of moving. You know, in Germany, it is not a good idea to not put in the picture because it is expected that. So if you don't have a picture, it is a little, it's only a little, but it is a minus in terms of your, the pros and cons of your document.
Okay.
So therefore, depending on the place, it's not always the same answer, but it is altogether, it's not a big issue. So don't worry about it too much.
Yeah. And I think that, that there's an opportunity because like, I think, I don't know if you mentioned it just now, but we've spoken about like the world is moving in that, that direction where like your LinkedIn profile, your Facebook profile, whatever has a profile picture, right? And LinkedIn is a professional platform for this purpose, right? It's like a digital resume, so to speak. What I've done is put a link to my LinkedIn profile on my resume that they can click and go there if they want to see my picture, if they're that interested. But like you said, if you want to follow a convention, which is typical in Canada, not to put your picture, then you follow the convention. If you want to stick out a little bit and it like you said, it is probably not damaging, then go for it. I don't put my picture on my resume. Let's just disclaimer. I'm in Canada. I've submitted resumes. I don't put my picture on my resume.
Yes. I think I even had my, when I was in the US a long time ago, I think I used the system, including the picture that time already. So, and I got a couple of jobs that avoid it. Either way, this is not going to, is not going to be the game changer.
Right.
You could even, but you know, sometimes to some extent, writing resumes is a conservative business. So this is actually something we haven't discussed. So maybe as we're talking about it, I'll bring it up. It is, and it's good. You mentioned that with the picture. Regardless of the picture, it is simply the case that that writing resumes or the way you should write your resume is a conservative thing. So do not become, for example, funny. You know, don't make it like, you know, a funny document or whatever. Don't put in like, you know, I don't know, graphics that, you know, in terms of little funny characters or whatever. So, so be careful with colors. Be careful with any kind of other photographs of that kind and so on. So therefore, this kind of creativity is usually not good. It usually goes the wrong way. However, there are sometimes a few things where you can be innovative. So for example, using the photo again, you could create like a little banner, a little teaser kind, so to speak, in terms of like, this is like the teaser, like on a website with my picture to my LinkedIn profile. So it is not, it's like a little box and you have it, you know, in a corner of your document, not too dominant. And then it would not be a resume with a picture, it would be a resume with a link to the LinkedIn profile, which has the picture, which is the reason why the teaser, the banner, whatever you want to call it, has the picture as well. You know, it's like in, it's like when you include these things and they have a little preview or whatever.
A thumbnail of sorts.
In this case, you could say, no, I did not include a picture because Christina said so. But then I had the banner to my LinkedIn profile with a picture because Michael said, that's okay.
So, yeah, but I think so in general, they won't not hire you or not interview you.
Yes, absolutely. It's not a big issue at all. Yeah. And actually, so far we have not discovered, this is the only like big issue so far we have discovered between countries or different countries. I think all the other things we have gone through in terms of Canada, special expectations and so on, actually it's just what you would do for other countries as well, as far as I, So there are not, basically there are not, in other words, there are not that many special requirements or special things you need to keep in mind to convince an employer in Canada. It's actually just about having a document that is persuasive in general. And if it works in Canada, it will actually work on the rest of the world as well. So this is the good thing. If you change your mind, you can still use, you know, and you decide to stay where you are or decide for another country, you won't have written your resume in vain. You can actually use the document just the way it is and apply with it in other countries as well. It will just work equally well.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right. So I think we've covered as much as we're going to cover today. Reminder, if you already are like getting emails from me or you've already RSVP'd to an event or anything like that in the future, you are already a member on my website and you don't have to do it again. I think I just saw some people who are already members subscribe. So if you're already put your email somewhere to RSVP to something, you're a member. So if you go to my events page again, hands-on webinar for making your resume, a well-crafted resume for your applications to jobs in Canada, January the 7th, go and get your book your spot. Become a member of my website if you aren't already, and I will see you in the next video. Remember to hit the like button, subscribe if you're not a subscriber, and do all the wonderful things and share. Happy Sunday. And yeah, I'll see you guys in the next video. End. Okay, it's ended on YouTube now.